we're going to take a moment to step into a little conversation from Scripture about Peter's journey. And I've titled the message today, "My name is Simon, but he called me Peter." And I wonder if you've had a nickname you love or a nickname you've hated. Of course, I've had both. So now I like try to dictate my own. Have you ever said to someone, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, but you can call me something else"? Well, Peter was very much like that. Peter was Andrew's brother. His brother was the first one to find Christ, and then he went and fetched Peter. And when Peter arrived, Simon arrived to meet Jesus. Jesus said to him, at the very meeting him, he said, "Your name is Simon, but from today you will be called Peter." Do you know, I wonder what my name will be in heaven. I'm quite keen to find out what it is. I mean, you can keep your current name, but you get another one. The Bible says so. You get your born-again name, not just your born name. Now, my name is George in your language. In Greek, it's Yorgo. Don't try it. It's too hard. It's awful. People came to me and said, "Is it yogurt?" It's not yogurt. While we're taking a moment on a bit of humor, could I do a shout out to our congregations who've connected online, on and off throughout the service, in Gericha, Uteneg, and in Jeffreys Bay, GLA. Good morning and hello, and also good morning and hello to our Kingfisher FM listeners. North End, would you please say hello to our churches everywhere? But I'm quite looking forward to the idea that I'll have a born-again name. And you'll see in Scripture why that's so incredibly important. You see, for now, I live in the awkward space between two names. I live in the space between George, the name and birth of my parents, and the new name I don't yet know, the name and birth of my salvation. And I straddle those two worlds awkwardly. The book of Romans says it's this internal struggle, the thing that I wish to do, I don't do, the thing I don't want to do, I land up doing, especially on diets and other matters of sin. There's this internal struggle, but what the cross assures me of is that there comes a day that the one will be silenced forever, the carnal self, and the other will live forever, the eternal self. So I'm on a road. I'm on a road from the old to the new. I'm on a road from one title to another. You know, you spend your entire life accumulating titles. You do that. You start out as sort of just one of, and then you accumulate them. You accumulate titles at school and put them as badges on your blazer. I didn't have too many. I had religious leader. Stay away. No, it wasn't so bad. You accumulate them. Then you accumulate titles like statuses, the title of husband or the title of wife. You accumulate the title of parent or the title of CEO or manager. Some of us put them on our business cards. Most of us carry them in our hearts. But there is one title that you must attain in your life, and then you must show it as much respect as you would show all the other titles, and that is the title Child of God. Now, you must get there. You can accumulate all the other titles in your life, but if you don't accumulate that one, it nullifies the power of all the others, because the title that comes at the beginning of your name, born again, is the title that affects the power of all the other things that happen after that. You see, a child of God parent has more power than just parent. And a child of God husband has something more to it than just husband. And so if you could get to that one and then hold on to it and hold on to it with the assurance that God has given it to us by the cross, then all the other stuff come to new life. If you don't do that, you kind of land up chasing titles and losing them as you go. And so there's this incredible journey that Peter takes us on. I especially like Peter's story because a lot of stuff that happens in Peter's life happens on a boat or near a boat. Now, I'm personally not a great boatsman. I have been out deep sea fishing a few times. I fed the fish. I did not catch the fish. The theory is supposed to be I sow and then I reap and eat. It didn't happen. I lay flat. You know, I'm the guy that kept saying, don't look down, look at the horizon, look at the horizon. And I just looked to the heavens. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. It doesn't say and sea. Why am I here? Jesus possibly looking upon me and going, I gave you a globe, two little feet and an earth, and now you want to swim. Anyway, in Matthew chapter 16, the story of Peter's journey unfolds. And I want to take you through his lessons because they are reflected in the cross. Matthew 16 verse 15 says, but what about you? Jesus asks, who do you say I am? Simon Peter. You know, there's a little while that both names were there. Sometimes just Simon. Sometimes just Peter. Sometimes Simon Peter. How many of you know that feeling? Sometimes I can be so spiritual and so silly at the same time. How is that possible? And Simon Peter has a critical moment. He says this, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And production, I need the words. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know, some people think that that's the moment when Jesus gave him his new name, Peter. It wasn't. The first day they met, he was already Peter. But you know, he hadn't fully realized who he was yet. You know, you're born again, you're a child of God, the first day you meet Jesus. But it takes you a lifetime of a road to discover fully what it means to be a child of God. It takes questions and conversations. Do you know what has happened since Peter's name and this moment where he says, a lot of boat experiences. Let me tell you how many things happened for Peter in a boat. Jesus called him when he was in a boat. Drop your nets, follow me, become fishers of men. Peter once climbed out of the boat. He's the guy who tried to walk on water. He climbed out the boat. You know, some of you are climbing out of boats you shouldn't be climbing out of. Get back in the boat. Because Jesus was coming there, right? Peter is the same guy who cast his nets all day and caught nothing. And Jesus said, other side, you're going about it wrong. And he caught a great big catch. It was on the boat that the Bible says Jesus knelt, I beg your pardon, Peter knelt and said, forgive me. Please, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Those are all essential steps on discovering what it means to be a child of God. You hear God's voice call you and you drop something, and with enthusiasm, you go for it. Every now and then, you step out of a boat you shouldn't, you start sinking. You climb back in. You say, thank you, Lord, for second chances. Any second chance people in today? Anybody grateful? Lord, you pulled me out of that thing so quick. And just like Peter, we try in our own effort, and then we realize, wait, there's a God way of doing it. And then we do it God's way, and oh, there's the catch, the realization. And all of us, just like Peter, at some point have to kneel and say, wait a minute, this is big. I am a sinner, and he is a pure savior. Lord, what a privilege to know you. And you come to that moment. And all of us have a little wobble. And the old self comes out, and we're standing in front of some arbitrary servant girl in the passage. Aren't you a believer? I mean, aren't you a Christian? Should you? And you go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. But if you go through that road and you walk it out wisely, you discover just how incredibly powerful your faith is. So today, I want to tell you about three aspects of Simon Peter's journey. That's important for you. And when it happens to you, you can go, well, that's okay. Happens to the best of us. Can you say amen to that? Happens to the best of us. Well, a couple of things. Peter discovered that he is a man he didn't know he could be. The first discovery, I guess, for every one of us is to discover that no matter how excellent things are going, there is a version of ourselves that God designed that we haven't yet discovered and could be. John chapter 1, verse 41 through 43 says, the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Peter. Do you know right now you might have a title you don't like? Maybe it's heartbroken or lonely or divorced, or a bit of humor was about to come out, and then I thought I'm going to make enemies now. I thought I might pick a car brand and say I'm such and such a driver, you know, and then I thought, yeah, don't go there. Maybe you have a title, it doesn't sit too well with you, you know, maybe middle-aged, you know. I don't know anybody like that, so you can laugh all you want. maybe you got a title that's been thrust upon you. You're an empty nester. But I want for you to know that in the midst of all of those things, that is not the title heaven calls you by. That's very important. See, I don't care what people call me. I know what he named me. Now, there's a distinction between those two things. Years ago, I used to be terribly embarrassed. Years ago, you know, 5, 6 years ago, in my 20s. That joke gets so tired. I used to be quite embarrassed. So people would say, oh, you're a pastor and you're single, you know, or a conversation would ensue and it would put me on the back foot. But I have to step back and remember that's your title for me. But his title for me is called out. He gave me my calling so that when one person thinks of you or sees you in one way, you may have named me that, but he calls me Peter. That's your Simon title for me. You can keep it. I've already got a Peter title, a spiritual title for me. Why is that important? Well, you know, you behave according to your title. Have you noticed that? Now, if you say to your child, well, that's the naughty one. Now, look, this one's the loving one, and that's the naughty one, and this one is the crazy one. Guaranteed, the one you named loving will become more loving. And the one you named naughty, they're going to live according to your prophecy. And the crazy one you haven't had yet. I'm distributing prophetically. No, I'm joking. It's going to behave according to it. This is why Abram became Abraham. And this is why Jesus died on a cross, a man, and was resurrected, a master, king, lord, and savior. Your name changes because your reaction and your response respects that and reacts to it. And so you have to be wise about that. You have to be wise about living your new name. Peter battled a bit with that. He was up and down on it, you know. But so do we. We battle a bit with it. And one day, when we're resurrected, I'm going to leave behind a couple of things when I'm in my new eternal life. I'll leave behind this body. I've ordered a slightly taller one. All the other specifications don't bother me. Just the other day, I shared this out of humor. There was a piece of duct tape stuck to the back wall. We're doing a bit of construction there. You will have noticed there's some changes here. It's just the beginning. And it was just out of reach. And I had to have one of two choices, a tall friend or a chair. I opted for a tall friend. I said, do me a favor, won't you just fetch that? I'll leave behind my earthly body. Oh, by the way, with it, I leave behind anything I can't reach because of my carnal nature. And I inherit something that allows me to reach everything. But I'm also leaving behind my name. My friends will know me as George in heaven, my Greek family will know me as Yorgo in heaven. But I'll come in. You see, people get a bit confused about this. They think, well, will my name be in the book when I get to the gate? I don't think my name, George, will be there. I think the other name that I don't know will be there. I'll introduce myself in heaven at the pearly gates to Peter. Hi, I'm George from KZN, not Grahakam. And he will say, oh, I see here. It's scratched out, George. It's Peter. It's a new name. Victorious. It is overcomer. It is praiser. Now that guy is welcome. Right in. The other guy died on a cross. George died on a cross. I got to lug his attitude around for the rest of my life, but I don't get to take it into heaven because the new self will be fully realized, spirit, soul, and body, born again on that resurrection day. How incredible is that? There's a second idea about Peter and his journey from Simon to Peter that takes place at a cross. Simon discovers that there is a man in him that he could beat in life. Do you know, there is something about realizing that I don't have to be broken the rest of my life. I can be victorious. And if something has caused me to sustain injury, I can come to Christ and I can receive victory. Simon didn't realize that. Matthew 14 says, come, all the motorbikers there were wondering, what bike is that? Who is it? And why aren't they in church right now? I'm wondering the same thing. Must be in the house of the Lord. Come, he said, by the way, on that, before I read it, Sunday morning, and I know we've got people in all the overflow rooms, Sunday morning, I'm going to make an announcement about the future of Father's House church services for 2021. It's time to start the engines for the rest of the year. Keep your ears open for that. Come, he said. Then Peter came out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Do you know how many times have we had to say to the Lord, Lord, can you just save me? Could you save the situation? Oh, it's me. It's not you, Lord, it's me. I saw something, but it's me. I want to encourage you that coming to church or sharing communion or reading the Bible, all of those things are not fruitless exercises. They keep Simon where Simon belongs, in the grave, and they keep Peter where Peter belongs, in heavenly places. Because every now and then, earth wants to pull you down, and Christ wants to lift you up on wings as eagles, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You have to have that, you see. It's so powerful to recognize that there's a man I didn't know I could be. There's a man I used to be, and I know I can be victorious over. Absolutely. Don't ever buy the lie, this is just the way I am, or I was born like that, or I can't help it. None of that is true. In Christ Jesus, you are whatever the Bible says you are. Amen? Excuse me. I needed a cough for a moment, and these days a cough is illegal. Nobody is going to greet me afterwards. They're like, yeah, what about his hands now? And then it was just a cough. For a bit during this pandemic, I felt sorry for the flu. It's just never got mentioned this year. Nobody had one. It's more dangerous. Cousin got all the airtime. But didn't realize that I could be victorious. The cross doesn't only change my name for one day. The cross changes my now for every day. That's why I'm reminded of the cross when we come to this time of the year. But there's one more lesson out of Peter's story that I want to share with you, and that is that Peter came to realize eventually that there is a man that if he would obey God and let the Spirit of God work in him, that there is a man that he could build. Oh, I like that. I like that I am God's building block. Oh, I like that a lot. Because I have quite a sort of a, a hobby interest in construction. I quite like that. I like the smell of wet cement. I don't know why. It's not an addiction. You know, I don't go home at night and mix some cement and sort of. It's just weird. And some of you are laughing real loud because you do other stuff you should stop smelling. But here's Peter realizing, I'm being built. Peter realizing, you know this cross? It chops away at some things that don't fit in my life. I should take courage that God is building a new man and a new woman. Do you know the world says you peak at, what age am I now? The world says you peak at 49, then it's downhill from there. I can't tell you how many people have warned me that you're going to turn 50 next year. It's the big 5-0. It was also the big 4-0 and the big 3-0 and the big 2-0. And it doesn't really matter because Jesus is the biggest 0. I don't know if that worked. It only works if you come from a certain part of Gauteng. But let me tell you, the world says this, but Christ says from glory to glory, being built as a holy habitation for Christ to dwell in you by the Spirit. There's something about that that's really powerful. Revelation 2, verse 17 is the evidence of this idea that I've been sharing with you. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. And I will give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. How incredible is that? The cross is my victory. On the other side of that victory is my deliverance. In my deliverance is a new name. By that new name, a new man. And the old is put to death and the new comes to life. Do you know something about Peter? Before you judge him for his weaknesses, for his exaggerations. Peter was an exaggerator. Lord, where you go, I will go. You're going to die on the cross, I'll also die. No, Lord, you can't wash my feet. I'll wash your feet. I'll wash everybody's feet. Shh, Peter. Peter on the top of the mountain of transfiguration. You know what we should do? We should build like a temple. Oh, Peter. Calm down, Peter. Aren't you one of the disciples? Who, me? Now, before you judge him, that was just Simon Peter. But in 50 days' time, there is a thing called Pentecost. On that day, a man got up to preach and tell the world that Jesus is Lord. 3,000 people, according to Scripture in Acts chapter 2, gave their lives to Christ. Simon didn't go to that meeting. Peter preached. And just 20 years after that, Peter died. Also crucified, upside down, because of his faith. Sorry. I'm overwhelmed by the sense that God could take a failure and make them a man of faith. That's silly Simon. Became powerful Peter. And broken you can be built you. And messed up in some area can be made up in every area because of a cross. Is it also raining now? How many emotional things can happen at the close of a service? You know, that cross that put up on the screen is a reminder to me that Christ came as a man, was crucified as a man, but he was resurrected as a king. His title also changed. And that I came to the cross as a weak and insecure person, but I stood up a new man. And like Peter, I have to have all those moments along the way. I have to drop everything and follow him and then get out of the boat unwisely and then get on my knees and say, "You are Lord. You are the Messiah." When Simon Peter saw all of this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man." How grateful are we today that instead of moving from us, Christ moved toward us and took who we were and changed us into who he wanted us and put a new name on it. I'm so deeply grateful for the cross today. Can you say amen to that? Would you please stand with me in every site and online? Yes, stay comfortable or stand up if you'd like. I'd like to extend an invitation as we close the service. By the way, tonight, if you're in Mandela Bay, Port Elizabeth, Kebeha, there is a night of worship, but we've moved it indoors because of the rain. It is happening, 6 p.m., 250 people. It's going to be fire. If you thought Vince was on fire this morning, you see what happens with him at night. And that'll happen. But as we close the service, I want to invite you today. If you're at a place where you, like Peter, are somewhere on one of the boats, you're doing your thing and Jesus keeps calling you, hey. Or you stepped out and you're a bit afraid and things are sinking. Or, excuse me, you had a wobble and you're denying your principles in some area of your life. Or you have never been able to make the statement that Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And that today I want to ask you that question, who exactly is Christ to you? I want you to be able to say, "You're the Messiah," which means the one who saves my soul. And if you say that, we pray a prayer together. And you step into the Simon season, out of the Simon season, into the Peter power. So this is the prayer. You just mouth it in your heart. And if you do that, you let us know. You can email us, check our website for resources. It's all there. But here's the prayer. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today that you're not just a good guy, a godly guy, a historical guy, that you are the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And indeed, my Savior. I feel unworthy to be able to ask this, but would you please save me and move me from the worldly version of myself to the godly version of myself with you at the very heart of it. In Jesus' name, amen.